And it's time again for a visit from our ethicist, Randy Cohen. Randy writes the Ethicist column in the New York Times Magazine, and our caller today originally appeared in the pages of that magazine. It's Nathan Cox Bien of Montgomery Township, New Jersey. He writes, "I am a young artist still in high school. I was commissioned to do a pair of drawings, a lion and a unicorn, to be tattooed on a client's shoulders. The problem is I'm opposed to tattoos, especially for young people. Some friends say, I'm not responsible for what a client does with my art, but is it ethical for me to ignore the use to which my work will be put?" And let me just say, I'm very impressed that Nathan did not end that sentence with a preposition. He joins us on the phone. Welcome. Have you ever had this issue with your artwork before?
Not normally. I mean, it's very rare that I get a commission at all, but I've never had this kind of ethical problem before.
Okay. Randy, what's your solution?
There's a Tom Lehrer song about taking moral responsibility for the way your work is used by other people, and it features the line, "Once the rockets go up, who cares where they come down? That's not my department," says Wernher von Braun. You might not regard missile design as art, but I think you see the point Tom Lehrer is trying to make. Sometimes you can't know how your work will be used by others. We can't hold Thomas Edison responsible for Britney Spears. But in Nathan's case, there's no mystery about where the rockets will come down. His drawings would be put to a use that he himself thinks is improper. And what's most pertinent here, I think, is that he should be true to his own values.
Somebody needs to be held responsible for Britney Spears.
But we can't blame Thomas Edison.
Okay, fine. You're essentially saying if you don't agree with tattoos, don't get involved with this.
Yeah, I think as a matter of self-respect and as a matter of maintaining your own principles, he's obliged to decline the commission.
Nathan, are your principles worth $100?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, my principles are worth a lot more than that.
So what's your decision?
I decided not to do the commission.
What's your problem with tattoos anyway?
My problem with tattoos is not so much tattoos in general. I believe that if you want to get a tattoo and you're absolutely sure about it, go ahead, fine. But my problem lies with young people in tattoos. I don't believe that someone as young as I am, or like even a little bit older than I am, really has that, you know, kind of mature capacity in their mind to make that kind of life decision.
Well, Nathan, it sounds like you've made a very mature decision here.
Well, I tried.
Nathan Cox Bien, thanks very much.
No problem.
Randy, you've been doing this for quite a while now. I'm wondering if you have some kind of system worked out that helps you form your opinions.
I don't have a particular ethical system that I work from, but I do find that the methods many moral philosophers have developed over the centuries are wonderful and interesting ways to help you understand the ethical questions you're faced with. Shall I give you an example of one?
Oh, please.
One I find particularly useful is called transparency. And the idea is you should act as if everyone in the community could see what you were doing. This is the one that Thomas Jefferson was very, very fond of. And in a letter he wrote at Monticello in 1816 to his young friend Francis Epps, he recommended this. He wrote, "Never suffer a thought to be harbored in your mind which you would not avow openly. When tempted to do anything in secret, ask yourself if you would do it in public. If you would not, you can be sure that it is wrong."
Well, now, wait a minute. I mean, you say Thomas Jefferson said that. I've just been reading a couple of books about Thomas Jefferson. This was one of the most duplicitous guys ever. I mean, he deceived himself about what he was doing in his life.
Well, but if his, while he may not be saintly, he may have fallen short of his own ethical goals, but that doesn't mean that the idea itself is a bad one. I think it would eliminate a great deal of bad behavior, transparency. If people knew what you were doing, there are many wicked things you would be reluctant to do. It would unfortunately also eliminate many showers.
That's true.
Because the desire for privacy is not a confession of wrongdoing. I think there's another more profound limitation to this method is that it's essential conservatism, that it only demands that we live according to the conventions of our society. And, you know, remember that Jefferson was a slave owner and was unembarrassed to be one, that transparency only demanded that he live in accord to the rules of his slave-owning society.
We hold these truths to be transparent or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, now, what do you do if you face an ethical decision where what you think is the right ethical decision is not what the community would want you to do?
In a case like that, that's when you refer to other moral tools, the categorical imperative, for instance. There's a whole battery of them. There are all sorts of fascinating ways to think about these problems that some really intelligent people have worked on. And John Dewey had some advice here, the great moral philosopher. He suggested that we think of each of these methods not as rules, but as tools to help us understand the situation we're in. And even transparency, I think, will help you better see your situation, although if you want to depart from the methods of your community, it won't help you at all.
Is there some kind of instinctive rule that you can go with if you can't remember all of these technical terms that you've just been describing?
You know, I often find that when people write to the column, that is what they're doing, that they often seem to have a sense of what the right behavior is, but they're not sure why, that my task is often to construct a logical case for it. But I think people's ethical instincts are, in fact, what they're most guided by. You know, it's first the verdict, then the trial, and not in a bad way.
Okay. As always, you can send your ethical queries, qualms, and dilemmas to us at watc@npr.org. Put the word ethics in the subject line, and you may get to pose your question to Randy Cohen himself. Randy, thanks again.
Bye, Steve.